Well, good morning, church family, and a very happy Father's Day to the fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers, if there are any, in our congregation today. Yes, we do have some. Congratulations again, Christo, on your 90th birthday, and the Lord bless you and Muriel and your family, and thank you for the example that you set to us all. Well, we had fun in our home the other day to try and come up with a good title for a Father's Day sermon. And so they varied from Wanted, Christian Fathers, to The Dads Have All Gone AWOL, and The World Is On Fire. From Fatherhood, The Most Important Role on Earth, to Where on Earth Do You Find a Good Father Anymore? And from Leave Me a Legacy, not a Lego set. And it all came down in the end to A Father's Calling. So that's what we're stuck with this morning, A Father's Calling. And I just want to speak to you as a father and a grandfather. The Bible, like the world in which we live, is littered with fathers who failed. One thinks of our first father, Adam, who plunged us all into disaster by being a poor husband, much less a poor father. One thinks of Noah, who lay naked and drunk before his sons. One thinks of Eli, the priest, who failed to discipline his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. One thinks of David and so many of the kings of Israel and Judah who failed as fathers. Enoch stands out as a good father who must have pleased the Lord. He lived, of course, before the flood. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. When he was 65, he fathered Methuselah, who lived 969 years. He was Noah's grandfather. So many fathers in the Bible, like Solomon, started so well and ended so badly. It's so easy to start most things well in life, isn't it? It's so hard to finish well. When we study the Bible, we see that a father's calling is indeed a high calling. But its elements are so simple to understand. So I just want to highlight two of them this morning. Devotion and discipline. The calling of a father is a calling to devotion. Fathers are called first to be devoted wholeheartedly to God Himself. Then to their spouse, their wife. Thirdly, to their children, their family. And then to their work, their career, and their world, in that order. Devotion to God is what separates a Christian father from a non-Christian father. The Christian father is called to be a father like God, like our Heavenly Father. So he will spend time each day in the Father's presence. He will spend time in the Father's Word. He will spend time in communication with the Father in heaven. That will be the most important part of his day. And he will be the same person at church that he is in the home. And he'll be the same person at work as he is in the home. His character and his behavior, his actions and his speech will betray him. They will give him away as a man of God, a man of grace and integrity. Our calling as fathers is to be devoted to our Heavenly Father and to reflect his character and his purity and his love wherever we go. We should shine as lights in a dark world. We're called as fathers to be devoted to God and to demonstrate God's fatherhood and God's father heart. That is our primary calling. And then our calling as fathers is to be devoted to our spouse, our partner in marriage. I want you to know this morning that although there are millions of beautiful women in this world, there is none so beautiful as the bride of my youth, who is the mother of my children and the grandmother of my grandchildren. And if you come to celebrate at the Father's throne of grace in prayer on Thursday morning, we'll have tea and scones for you as we celebrate our 55th anniversary. God helping me, I want to leave my children this legacy that I affirmed, that I honored, and that I loved their mother to my dying day. Christian fathers are devoted to God. Secondly, they are devoted to their spouse. Thirdly, we're called as fathers to be devoted to our children and our grandchildren. If I'd known the grandchildren were such fun, I'd have had them first. So being devoted to our children and our grandchildren, it means more than making money to put them through school and university if we can. We never could. It means giving each child the personal attention and the quality time that they deserve. Being a devoted father means setting an example that they can follow to the end of their days, and setting good boundaries that will keep them safe and secure as they grow through childhood to adulthood. At times it may mean cancelling lesser engagements and some more selfish pursuits. For in the end, your children will remember the times that you spent with them and what you did with them. Some years ago, I was privileged to preach in a local church crusade in the city of Cullman, Alabama. And after the first service, I was very aware that the minister of music, who had been called to the church for the crusade, was a man of God, apart from a skilled and wonderful musician. And I asked him about his career. And I wasn't all that surprised to find that he'd been minister of music in one of the most famous churches in the Southern Baptist Convention in Dallas, Texas. And I asked him why he left there. And he said, "We sing to work night and day." And then I noticed that the senior pastor's daughter went astray and turned right away from the Lord. And when I spoke to him about it, he said, "Son, that's the price you pay for growing a great church." And I said, "Sir, then that price is too high for me, and I ask you to receive my resignation." I arrived at a house of, my opinion, one of South Africa's greatest evangelist pastors to arrange the funeral. His son had turned away from the Lord. I greeted him and made some very complimentary remarks about his father. With a wry smile, he said to me, "I wish he'd come to my sports events and watch my rugby matches instead of being out in the world saving souls, never having time for me." Having said that, fourthly, we're called as Christian fathers to be devoted to the local church, because the local church is the apple of God's eye. It's just that we have to get the balance right. The local church is the bride of Christ. It's the community of the redeemed which helps to anchor our faith in God. The local church helps us to anchor our relationship with our wife and our children and our colleagues, and our career. The local church the company of God's redeemed people is an essential part of the Christian father's life. It's the only thing in the world that lasts forever, after all, is God's church. So don't badmouth your church or its leaders in front of your children. Don't badmouth other churches and their pastors and leaders. If you drive your children away from God's church, you'll drive them away from God. Be careful what you say in front of your children. The church is the hope of the world. And speaking of that, fifthly, a father's calling is to be devoted to reaching a lost world. Our Heavenly Father so loved the world that He gave Himself to redeem us from a lost eternity. Show your children that you care about people, especially disadvantaged people and poor people and broken people, that as a father you carry the fatherhood and the father heart of God. I think we were all blessed, those of us who were at Dr. Monty Brink's funeral service recently, that all of his sons remembered how their father from time to time had the boys make hot chocolate in the middle of the night and go with their father to share it with the homeless people under the bridge or on the pavement. Lost people don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. And so do our children and our grandchildren. A father's calling is to be devoted. Devoted to his God, devoted to his wife, devoted to his children and grandchildren, devoted to his church, and devoted to a lost and dying world. Your career dad is simply there to pay the expenses. It is not the most important part of your life. What's the use of dying as a billionaire when you've shipwrecked your marriage and your family? Fatherhood is a calling to devotion. Secondly, it's a calling to discipline. An undisciplined disciple is a total contradiction in terms. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, bring up, train, coach your children in Christian discipline and instruction." How can we discipline our children? How can we coach them, train them, mentor them, disciple them, if we're not disciplined ourselves? How can we manage a family well if we cannot even manage ourselves well? Parenting is a very high calling that requires an unending and seriously intentional commitment. It's a discipline. Elaine and I have two sons. It's such a blessing to see how intentional they are about their role as fathers. They've obviously learnt a lot from my mistakes. They are compassionately and passionately deliberate and intentional and disciplined in establishing a Christ-centered home, a Christ-centered marriage, and in leading their family as its prophet, priest, and king. And they're deliberate in supporting the ministry of the local church and the mission of the local church. That doesn't just happen. It certainly doesn't happen if you get home from work and collapse into a recliner for 2 or 3 hours in front of a television screen. Fathers, are there adjustments that you need to make today to be the father that God wants you to be? It takes time and discipline to understand a child's world today. It's such a different world to the world that you and I grew up in. It takes a lot of discipline and understanding to understand a teenager's life change, to what actually happens in puberty and development from youth to adulthood. It takes time and discipline to be available, to talk things through, to understand the uniqueness of each child and develop their potential, to know when to rein in and when to let go. To be a father who reflects the fatherhood of God, that's a call to discipline, I think. But what assurance and comfort to know that if we train up each child in the way that he or she should go when they're old, they will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. When it comes to discipline, dads, the Apostle Paul sums up the five essentials of Christian discipline to his son in the faith, Timothy. And actually, they apply to us all, so let's all take these five things home today and make sure they're part of our lives, whether we're fathers or grandfathers or not. They all begin with the letter F, so they're easy to remember. Paul says to his son in the faith, Timothy, number one, fan. Fan into a flame. Constantly fan into a flame the gifting that God has placed within you. Christian fathers are to be aglow with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Fan into a flame the spiritual gifts that God has endowed you with so that you can serve the Lord, your wife, your family, your children, your grandchildren, as one who is filled with the Spirit of Jesus. That your Father's house and the zeal for your Father's house might consume you. Number two, flee. Flee. Flee from everything that would bring dishonor to the name of your Heavenly Father and bring defeat into your own life. Flee immorality. Flee from everything that would dishonor the Lord. Number three, he says to Timothy, follow. Follow hard after all that is worthwhile, that is righteous, that is wholesome, that is good and godly. Follow after that with all of your heart. And number four, fight. Fight the good fight of the faith. We're in a war zone. Every day, dads, put on the full armor of God, the belt of truth as it is in Jesus, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shoes of the gospel. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith, by which you quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. We're in a war zone. Stand then. Be strong in the strength that God supplies through his eternal Son. Amen. Fight the good fight of the faith. And then finally, number five, finish. Finish the particular course that God has set for you. Don't bail out of the race. Don't go AWOL in the heat of the battle. Don't stop until you've reached the finish line. No matter how badly you've started, at least finish well by the grace of God. Because three crowns await you at the end of your journey. A crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8. A crown of glory, 1 Peter 5:4. A crown of life, James 1:12. Here is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of Ephesians 6 and verse 4, slightly embellished. Fathers, don't make your children bitter about life. Don't exasperate them. Don't let them end up full of unresolved conflict in their hearts. Don't provoke them by coming down too hard on them. Be hard on yourself, not too hard on your children. Instead, bring them up in Christian discipline and instruction. And this is the bit I like so much. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. A father who had just beaten his wife in a drunken frenzy, slammed the door behind him and marched off in the snow to the village pub. He'd gone about 100 paces when he heard a plodding noise behind him. He looked back to see his little boy trying to land his feet in the holes his father's boots had made in the snow. "What are you doing out here in the cold, boy?" The father screamed. "I'm following in your footsteps, Daddy," came the reply. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you this morning that we can call you Abba, our dear, dear Father. It is our desire as fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, that we may, as your children, be able to hallow your name every day and submit to your rule in our lives every day and do that which is your will day by day. And so we pray that you'd grant us wisdom from above, compassion and grace, integrity, and that you would keep us from temptation where we would let you down, and deliver us from all evil. Because to you belongs the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And we pray your blessing upon all the dads, granddads in our congregation, those who listen on our site, and we pray for fathers in our nation and in our world today. Dear Lord, would you raise up Christian fathers who will be like their Father in heaven? We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.